bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back at Camden Yards on this Wednesday night. Interleague once again. Orioles and the Pirates about to close out a quickie two-game series. Orioles here tonight looking for a second consecutive victory. Wade Miley tonight tried to become a three-game winner. And there's a brand-new reliever in the Oriole bullpen tonight. Well, not really brand-new. He's been around, 33 years of age. Edwin Jackson is now an Oriole. And the Orioles become his 12th Major League team. Buck Showalter and the Geico Manager's Report right after this.
What's new?
What's the upside to Edwin Jackson? Other than track record and what he's done throughout his career.
Oh, there's a reason why Edwin's pitched as long as he has. He's a professional and feel good because Rogers had him. Comes in with a lot of experience and a guy that we hope can do a job that needs to be done in the American League. And, obviously he got a late start, so we had to wait and make sure that he had gotten beyond spring training. And, it was time. See if he can do this job for us. He's certainly done it in the past. But he brings an element that, we're in need of. We hope lets us kind of settle down our bullpen a little bit.
What's the message for Donnie going back down?
Same as, I've used that example. RJ had a meeting the other day with the guys in AAA. There's a reason why someone like Crichton comes back. They go down there and they do real well. I mean, he spent one day going down. And pitched the day he got there and pitched two or three shutout innings and has done it again and again. And that's what makes you want to bring them back. They control it, really. And, guys sitting down there with 5, 6, and 7 ERAs, it's hard to have a lot of confidence about bringing them back. I mean, they need to pitch well at that level. That's how it works, right? Supposed to, but unfortunately, sometimes you get caught in a little bit of bind. But there's some guys down there that should be pitching better at that level than they are. So I know RJ kind of delivered that message the other day to a couple, it was there for all of them. But I would use Crichton as a good example, and I mentioned that to Donnie. I mean, Donnie needs to get back to some of the things he was doing to be successful. And it's a guy that basically skipped the AAA level. So it'd be good for him to establish himself down there.
When it comes to Edwin's and how you're going to use him, last week in Norfolk, He pitched in kind of a different variety. I think he had a three-inning stint and he had a save down there. When you look at how you plug him into this bullpen, is it more than just to give you length or
It's a versatile – I think you'd look at it kind of like a utility infielder. I think he can handle a lot of different roles. For instance, last night, if we hadn't scored in that inning, he'd have probably been in that game the next inning because I didn't want to pitch Mike with only one day off. And I'd had Ubaldo up early in the game, really didn't want to dry hump him again. It was either Blyer or, Dan's, we've been talking about it for a while. We're just trying to finish it off a little bit down there.
So would he sort of fit the role that Asher had where you were using Asher short, but you could use him long?
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe more like that as opposed to what we saw with Worley. Vance was more long and extended and could pitch, pitch two or three innings and come back and give you a couple outs the next day. And there's some, I've seen him from the other dugout. I'm going to lean on Roger and Edwin a little bit for it. I know there's a lot of people in that locker room that have a prior relationship with him. They're really excited that he's here.
Buck, what do you know about Chad Cool?
It's cool, right?
Yeah, apparently.
It is cool because Dean Albany, I know Dean knows him real well. He had him, one of our best scouts. I know he had him turned in. That's such a crapshoot of where he's going to be picked. You may have him in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, and you decide it's seventh round is where you're comfortable with him, and some other club takes him in the sixth round, hang with him. Well, I had it right. I was just a round off. Dean, So it's somebody that we certainly are aware of, plus arm. Good stuff. Another good stuff guy. He's at it. His last couple outings, he's added a curveball a little bit, which wasn't something he was featuring before. But he's a three-pitch mix. Another guy that's over 60% fastball, which is very unusual in the American League, I can tell you that.
Well, you have
six hitters now with 25 or more RBIs, real tremendous balance in the lineup. The players on this team talk quite a bit about passing the baton, that they know they don't always have to get it done. Does that give confidence to each other that even if they can't get it done, there's another guy that's having as equally a good year and they may get it done?
I don't think they actually stand in the batter's box on deck circle and say, listen, there's no pressure on me to do this, because they're still going to try hard and press. It's a pressing job. So I don't think guys get in the batter's box and say, wow, he's got the same RBIs as me, so it's okay if I don't get it done. You know, this is, I think we're two games over. I look at seasons in thirds. A lot of people look at them in halves, or I do them in months. From a pitching standpoint, I do them in thirds from a team standpoint. So if you take a guy with 25 RBIs and you multiply it times three, what kind of year for some guys, what position they are. But that's how, you know, guys think what kind of year they're having. But if you can spread that around and you got multiple guys, like you're saying, doing it, it kind of absorbs some of the blow of maybe not having one or two guys at their normal capacity.
In a moment, Jim Hunter and the Orioles' newest reliever, Edwin Jackson, when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
At Camden Yards, the Orioles have a new reliever. We'll visit with Edwin Jackson up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles close out the two-game interleague series with Pittsburgh tonight. Birds with a chance for a sweep, and it's a pleasure to welcome in the newest Oriole, Edwin Jackson, who joins the team today. He'll be in the bullpen. Been an interesting season for you so far.
To say the least, it's been a little journey, but, you know, definitely worthwhile. Get to see the hard work pay off and continue progressing, you know, as I would like, and get to do it at the highest level of baseball that you can play at.
All right, let's go to the genesis of this. You were a free agent. You had your choices, I'm sure. What was it about the fit with Baltimore that you decided this would be a good place to sign?
Well, from all the years pitching against them, I definitely knew the offensive talent that was here. It's a lot of defense. It's nice pitching when you have guys behind you that's going to make plays. And I figured it was an opportunity to, be able to come up and help a pitching staff that I would have a chance to be in the major leagues with. And I'm familiar with Roger McDowell. He was one of my earlier pitcher coaches in my career, and I also had him in Atlanta. So that helps as well when you have someone that you're familiar with and, you know, that kind of knows you. But, it's a great city to play in. Great city to play in. I play here plenty of times, and it's a great organization, and it'll be a lot of fun to win here.
Now, because you signed late, you almost had your own little private spring training. You're down there and extended with Scotty McGregor trying to get ready. So I guess going to the minor leagues, not only you couldn't disagree with that, but it was actually helpful to get your arm back and get in game shape.
Oh, definitely. I would be crazy to say that I didn't need to, you know, have some kind of spring training, or I would be able to come in and be right game ready. That wouldn't even be fair. It wouldn't make sense, you know, for me to say that. So I definitely needed to get groomed in. I needed some little time. I needed to face some hitters and get adjusted and get my rhythm back.
Now, you've had so much experience in your long career, starting and relieving. At least initially, you'll be in the bullpen for the Orioles. Over the years, have you found a preference? I mean, I know you've pitched a no-hitter in your career, so obviously that's something every starter thinks about. But the role in the bullpen, especially the way Buck Showalter uses the relievers, that's a good fit.
I'm definitely, I've been a starter for most of my career, so it's definitely been more comfort in a starting rotation. You know the plan. You have a set layout. Everything is kind of, you know, set to when you're going to throw. Although the bullpen is random, you have to be ready for everything. But I like the preparation of the starting, but I like the adrenaline out the bullpen. At this point, I've done them both in my career, so doing either one is not very hard for me. It's just a different mentality, different game prep, and different preparation, a different plan of method of working on the body.
Well, I'm sure as you saw last night, if you hold the opposition as is, there's a chance you get a win. I mean, Michael Givens has five wins out of the bullpen. Brad Brock pitched a 3-up, 3-down 10th, and all of a sudden he ends up the winner. There's something to be said about that coming in, doing your job, and just keeping the other team at bay to give this team with the power a chance to come back.
Oh, man, definitely. Like I say, I've pitched against these guys plenty of times. It's not an easy lineup to pitch to by far. At any given point, these guys can come out and put up three or four runs in an inning. I watched it done before. I've seen it done before, just watching them play. And as a pitcher, that always gives you confidence. If you come in and you keep the game close, the chances of your team winning is in your favor. And that's all you can ask for as a pitcher.
All right, when you get into a game with the Orioles, it'll be your 12th different major league team. Now, that tells me a lot of teams wanted you and you were a good fit, but that's a whirlwind career, 12 different teams. That's one off the record.
12 teams. It'll be a nice collage of jerseys once I retire. But
Their luggage.
That too. A lot of bags in the garage, no doubt. But, I mean, it's been a luxury. I've got to live in a lot of different cities. I've got to experience a lot of different regions of the world, and it's been fun for myself. I'm a military brat, so traveling is something that I'm definitely familiar with. And I was a new city in the 12th city right here playing with the Orioles. But it's a great city. I've always liked coming here, and it'll be good to be able to play on a home side, instead of the opposing side.
And as far as fitting in, the one good thing about this organization, they don't ask you to do too much. You just do your job. Buck says your role is get outs when I put you in a game. And on a contending team, that's all you got to believe, right? I mean, let me get in there, let me help, and let's see what happens in October.
That's the objective of the game, get in and get out. So if everybody has the same role, or, I mean, you have you specific roles for some people. But like you say, once you're in there, it's your role for that night, and the objective is to go in and get outs. That's the key. If you do that, it doesn't really matter what inning it is, it's going to help your team win a game or have a chance to win a game.
All right, finally, I know this is all new to you. You're still meeting teammates. Do you hope you get in the game tonight just to get that one out of the way?
Always ready to get in the game. I feel like a little kid in a candy store right now. It's kind of amazing how even when you have a lot of time in the big leagues, when you get back all over again, especially you coming from the minor leagues, you coming from extended, and you go into AAA, the feeling that you get, the excitement is like a new feeling all over again.
Well, congratulations on the promotion, and I'm sure the team is very happy to have you. Best of luck to you, and appreciate the visit.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Edward Jackson is in the bullpen tonight. He is wearing uniform number 28. And stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards in the win column tonight. The Orioles with their second consecutive victory as they complete a two-game sweep of the visiting interleaguers, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And all you have to know about this game tonight is Trey Mancini did not enter the game until he was entered as a pinch hitter in the ninth inning. And even so, he winds up with five RBIs from the ninth inning all the way to the bottom of the 11th inning. That's how they won the game. And really, all the way up until the ninth inning tonight, it was all about the Pirates. They took the lead in the second inning. Mora, fly ball, left field corner. On the run, Kim. On the run, he is not going to get to it. It's about 2 feet fair. That ball is in the corner. McCutcheon is in. Here's Diaz being waved in, and he will score without a play. The ball back into Manny Machado at third. That's a two-run double. It's a 2-0 Pirate lead. And there you go. Orioles came back with a run in the bottom of the second inning on a couple of walks. Davis going to third on Scope's fly ball out and then scoring on Kim's fly ball to make it 2-1. But then, the Pirates extended the lead in the third.
Here's the 0-1 pitch, bounced and wide of first base and down the line. Pittsburgh's going to get a run. Here's Asuna to score. McCutcheon is being sent. Here comes the throw towards the plate. It is off the mark, cut off by Davis, and it's a two-run base hit. That'll go as a double.
Yeah, Wade Miley had a horrendous night here tonight. Wade Miley, 2 2/3 innings, is a 4 runs on 8 hits, couple of walks. He had 4 strikeouts. But the Pirates again, 7th inning against the bullpen, a single by Polanco, and then Osuna came up to hit.
Here's the 0-1 pitch, swinging a high fly ball deep left field, and that ball is going to go. He got a breaking ball, and there's a 2-run home run. Osuna hits it out, and it is 6-1 Pittsburgh. So Edwin Jackson greeted rudely here, a single, a ball to the warning track in center field, and now a two-run homer.
Yep, Edwin Jackson's Oriole debut gives up that two-run home run. So, again, it was all Pirates all the way until the bottom of the eighth inning. When the comeback began, Adam Jones came up with the bases empty. Fly ball, left center. Pretty well hit. Backing up McCutcheon. Backing up. Way back there. Gone! A home run. Wave it. Bye-bye. Adam Jones into the Oriole bullpen. Number 11 for him, to make it 6-2. Well, McCutcheon gave it all he had. He got to the back of the warning track. He jumped up, and it looked like half the body was over the wall, but that ball well beyond his reach. Yeah, there you go. That's the beginning of the comeback. It all came down bottom of the ninth inning, and again, left-handed Tony Watson came out of the bullpen. Watson, who had given up Scope's two-run home run in the ninth inning last night to tie the game, he was out there again. He walked Trumbo to get the inning started. And then Scope, he doubled to put runners on second and third. Then a pitching change. Rickard off the bench as a pinch hitter, a sacrifice fly to pick up an RBI. And then J.J. Hardy came up to hit. He was 0 for 18 until this at bat. Fly ball, left field corner, heading for the corner. Frazier on the run. Can he get there? It's a fair ball. It drops in. Extra bases. Scope comes in, and Hardy pulls up at second base. That's an RBI double to make it 6-4. And now suddenly the Orioles had the tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. There you go. Trey Mancini came off the bench as a pinch hitter to hit for Seth Smith. He had an 8-pitch at bat. He fought off several good pitches until he got the one that he could connect on. Mancini having an extended at bat here. Like, how about 7 pitches so far? This will be number 8. Mancini will take a good look. The count 2-2. And here it comes. Fly ball, right center, pretty well hit. This ball is way back there. You gotta be kidding me. Wave it bye-bye. Trey Mancini comes off the bench. And for the second consecutive game, the Orioles, on a 2-run home run, have tied the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. It is deja vu all over again. Wow. Wow, indeed. And eventually, it all came down to the bottom of the 11th inning. Left-hander Wade LeBlanc out there to pitch. He struck out the first batter. But then Rickard singled after a fly ball out. Caleb Joseph got a big base on balls to get the game again to Trey Mancini. Mancini digs in. LeBlanc is ready, and he delivers. And Mancini, fly ball, left field. My goodness, he has done it again. Ball game is over. Mancini, one pitch. Bottom of the 11th inning, he wins it. It's a walk-off. The Orioles in the win column, and they sweep the Pirates. As we said, Mancini has become a go-to guy. He is being mobbed by his teammates. He has won the game after he tied the game in the ninth inning. Boom Boom gets it done. Yeah, he certainly did. Pirates got Boom Boomed in the second game of this two-game series. What an amazing ending. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Time to hear from the skipper now following the Orioles 9-6 win in 11. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
How nice is it to be able to have a guy like Mancini that you can bring in like that, a weapon that late?
Well, yeah, you know, Trey was, you know, be a lot of things forgotten because of Trey's contributions, but that was big. It's big. You know, all three of those guys that really come in pitching real well, Rivera's obviously been good. I'll think back about the outing by Mike Wright. You know, that kind of stemmed the tide some and got, you know, I think there were 90 pitches in 2 innings by the 2 pitchers. I was looking up there, it was like 13 pitchers tonight. But I knew once we got Mike in there, we had a shot. What is he, 6-0 now, 7-0? So, you know, we had couple, you know, person unavailable tonight in pen, so we were kind of down to our last bullets there. But Trey obviously had a couple big blows. Joey had a big, I thought Caleb had a big at bat to get him up there.
What's going on with Manny?
On the top of his left hand here, obviously a spike with a slide that I won't get into, but he had an x-ray, which was negative. They're talking about getting an MRI tomorrow just to be on the safe side and make sure we know what we're dealing with. So we'll see when, if and when that can get set up. But I'm hoping it's something that he got pretty sore, went down the cage, didn't feel good swinging the bat, so decided to be cautious with him. Thought Todd had presented himself well.
You have 2 right-handed bats on the bench in the ninth with Rickard and Mancini there.
I've got 3. I got Pena too, who hits left-hand pitching well.
What goes into saving Mancini for Seth Smith's spot versus going with him when you hit Rickard there?
One, because of the power, and you're trying to get to that spot. You know, when the whole inning started, we were trying to get to the one hole and take a shot at him. Didn't always work out that way. Some thought is do whatever it takes to get there regardless, but then you end up with a matchup that you can't take advantage of necessarily. Not that Seth can't. And you also think about what kind of pitcher it is. You know, a guy like LeBlanc, you don't mind the left on left as much because of the finesse. You know, Rivero, you just hope your pitcher holds them till you can get him out of there. Not that the rest of them aren't good, too. They got a good bullpen, a lot of power arms, gosh. Cool was impressive. Dean Almaney had him in his area, really liked him. And you see why they did, too. Wade just never kept waiting for him to find his step and never just didn't feel like he was ever going to be able to make the adjustment. It's one of the things when a guy that works that quickly and rapidly, when you get out of sync a little bit, it's tough to slow down. He's a guy you don't realize how many pitches he has until you look up there because he's working so fast. Don't know yet. We're going to look, I know we'll probably do some cautionary things in case, you know, we find something out tomorrow. We're fortunate we're not traveling tonight. And be some decisions we'll probably have to make tomorrow. We'll have to do some things as far as pitching. That's another. You know, there's two issues here. It's the infield, especially with the National League game. Would have been a great day to have a day off tomorrow like originally scheduled before we got a game called off. What were you going to say?
Just with Manny, was it the impact of the spike that came in that turned the wrist?
It wasn't the wrist. Okay. You know, I know they may initially. I don't know what the communication. It's a puncture here, pretty deep. It's not stitchable. Obviously, we didn't think it was, and it's more on the top here, pretty deeply bruised. Just kind of a deep. And it's an unfortunate slide, I can tell you that. We've had our share of, I don't think, you know, Andrew was doing it maliciously, but it certainly was an unfortunate execution of a slide. You hate to see it. I'm sure McCutchen felt the same way, but sometimes things happen in the heat of battle, just like Manny slide. I don't think there's any maliciousness on either part, so we weren't certain going to start retaliating.
Going back to Mancini for a moment, I mean, anytime you have someone come up in the ninth inning as a pinch hitter, it's an excitable moment. What's that say about his maturity that he fell behind in the count early and battled?
I think, you know, Scott and them, they spend a lot of time at the runway when these guys are coming in and talking about the guy you got to slow down on and what have you. But he, what I like about him, and one of the things I like about him and the challenge he's going to have is he goes on in his career is to stay out there and not try to hook everything. And, you know, the last ball he hit is just a product of a good approach and a good hit. He's not trying to pull that ball. And the other one is a product of having a good approach. And the challenge is going to be as he gets older and, you know, they're being compensated for 30 home runs and, you know, the ability to take what they're giving you and drive the ball the other way for a single and everything is going to be the challenge. He doesn't get caught up in the lure of what the industry rewards to make himself hit for that high average for a long period of time.
So, look, out of those two at bats, which were you more impressed with? The first one where he battles through that at bat?
I don't think either one he was trying to do too much. You know, the home runs are just product of a good approach and a good swing. He's not trying to. And he'll probably tell you that some of the semi lull and, you know, the quick start he got off to is he might have gotten a little big, but you know, you're not going to sneak up on anybody. These guys are throwing the kitchen sink at him, and he's got to realize his worst enemy is going to be himself and make sure that they're getting you out and you're not getting yourself out. And he's done a good job with those adjustments. And what I like is, you know, we haven't had many questions about him in left field. He goes out there and he works every day. He's trying to be as good as he can be out there. I say all the time he's a guy that's going to be as good as he's capable of being because he's going to give himself a chance. We good?
So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win a thriller. Back-to-back nights they win thrillers tonight. It was the Trey Mancini show. Boom, boom, late. Two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth tied it. Three-run home run walked it off in the 11th. The Orioles' sixth walk-off of the year, third by a home run. And it's their 31st walk-off win since the beginning of 2014. Only the Angels with 32 have more.